Well, the military said, let's see how far we can separate the donor from his cells and still have the effect in place. Well, the military stopped when they were only 50 miles apart. There was no difference. Right after September 11th, I did a series of conferences throughout the rest of the month. And one of those conferences, I was actually presenting this material to an audience, and the scientist that designed these experiments was in the audience. If you ever read the book published 1974, it's called The Secret Life of Plants. His name was Dr. Cleve Baxter. And he was very, very generous and very kind and very gracious with sharing with me additional studies. Cleve Baxter was working with military intelligence in polygraph technology during World War II when it was in its infancy. And we had never heard of anything like these lie detector tests before. For some reason, he intuited one day, instead of hooking these things up to a human, he hooked them up to a plant. He was going to do some experiments later in the day, but before that, he was going to have his lunch. He's in the laboratory, he's having lunch. The plants are hooked up to a polygraph, and a spider walks across his desk. And in his mind, he's thinking, I'm going to smash this spider. He never even raised his hand to do it. Just in him thinking that he was going to do it, all of a sudden the plants started going nuts on the polygraph. The plants picked up his intent to kill the spider before he even physically began the motion with his body. And he said, well, that's interesting. That led to a series of experiments that became The Secret Life of Plants, and that's what that book was written about. Subsequently, he did the same thing with humans, and now that lends itself to why they were doing these experiments. So at dinner that night, he began telling me a story. He said the military stopped at 50 miles. He said, but we didn't. He said, we did experiments where we had the donor in Los Angeles. We shipped the cells to Phoenix, about 300 miles away. He said the effect was the same. Why? Why is this DNA having an experience when the donor of the DNA is 300 miles apart and there's no lag time? What does that mean? There's nothing in conventional wisdom that allows for this. It means in some way that DNA is still connected to the donor. Think about, what does that mean for organ transplant victims? When you transplant an organ from one living person to another, is the organ that's in one human still linked to another in some way, maybe? We know we all share DNA. I've probably hugged 30 people here before we began this morning. Some of my DNA is on every one of you, and you're on me. In just a little while, we're going to go to lunch. You're going to have yours. I'll have mine. Are we still linked while we're having our lunch experience? And to some degree is what this is saying. This information, what's happening here, the field of energy that's being utilized here is what's key in this experiment. What do these tests show us? Number one, they say that living cells communicate through a previously unrecognized form of energy. The time and distance in these experiments have no effect on the communication. They're not bound by time and space. Number three, the energy appears to be non-local. Non-local energy, if you haven't heard of it, you will hear of it. It has been the subject of National Geographic specials, Discovery specials. CNN has done specials on it, Nova, 60 Minutes, Dan Rather reports, Charlie Rose has interviewed physicists, working with what is called non-local energy. What does it mean? Of the many ways we can define it, the definition I'm about to share is as good as any other. Non-local energy, it's energy that already exists everywhere, all the time, rather than an energy that's generated or created in one place. It says that we are surrounded, we are bathed in a field of energy that Western science is only beginning to understand. It's everywhere all the time, so it's not local, it's non-local.